previously on the Brisket in Maine podcast.
You know, you're beautiful.
Thank you.
Did you fall in love with me with the first time you met me? Because you,
like your wife didn't fall in love with you the first time she met you. What the hell did he?
Scroll down.
Oh,
damn. Oh, shit. They paid for it.
Should have been local. Yeah.
They pay on time.
Oh, I love it.
Edit that part out.
He ain't lying. Times are tough right now. Like, you got to be in it to win it. But, you know, I'm gangsta, fool. I'm GP.
Oh. 15 start time. What's going on, guys? This is CJ.
This is Joe Zavala.
And this is our special guest, Eli Jordan, avid golfer, chief editor, and radio host on The Ticket.
Yes, that's right. And all of these things are correct.
I cannot believe you actually want to come on this rinky-dink podcast called Brisket in Maine. That's about barbecue and some random bullshit. Like, how the hell did you even find us?
Well, those are my two specialties, barbecue and random bullshit. So.
Okay, that's what's up. So tell me, how is that your specialties?
Well, like I told you beforehand, this is admittedly a little self-serving because I am a huge fan of your barbecue. My wife, in fact, works just down the road from Zavala's, and so we go there for lunch quite a bit. And I saw that you had a podcast. I'm like, you know what? That would be fun. I'd like to meet him and wrap a little barbecue and other stuff.
So how long have you been coming to Zavala's Barbecue?
That's a good question. How long have you been open?
So we have officially been open since February of 2019 in that brick and mortar, so 4 years.
Okay, so probably at least 3.5.
Holy shit, for real?
Yeah, I think my wife works so close, I think her and some of her coworkers had tried it out, and she mentioned it to me, and then about that time, I started following along on Instagram and that kind of thing, and I think you hooked me in whenever you started doing the fajitas.
For real?
Yeah.
That's what everybody says.
The fajitas are incredible.
Yeah.
Wow. So, but I guess...
And the barbecue's great, too. Don't get me wrong.
No. I this is really interesting, right? Because it's been 3.5 years, and you're still coming. So, I guess that says our food's been consistently good.
Yeah, I would agree.
Wow.
Well, in a day and age, and there's so many different places to spend your craft barbecue dollar these days.
100%.
I mean, they have blown up everywhere, and... Over the last 6, 7, 8, 9 years, you see more and more and more, and it's hard to find really good, consistent ones, especially when you have some of the ones now that they started with, like a food truck, and then went to a brick and mortar. Well, now they're expanding. They've got 3 or 4 or 5 locations. Well, all of a sudden, it gets kind of stretched thin, and some of the satellite locations aren't as good as the original, and then the original one kind of starts to waver a little bit on their quality because they don't have the head honcho there every day. And so there's something to be said about a smaller operation that just does have the one location because it's always consistent and you know that whoever's running it is there from day to day. So, and I'm sure you're a busy man and you get out and do other things, but I have a feeling you're probably there more often than you're not. So
I'll say this every morning. So if I'm working in my office, like my day to day, I work out of this office, but the first stop I make is at the restaurant. I open up the smokers. I look at all the briskets, and I can tell if the cook is going well. Ask the guys, JoJo, he's our morning pit master. How are you doing? And then when I leave to go home, I stop and talk to you, Joseph and Fabian, who are the evening pit masters. How's the cook going? And then I find myself the last couple of months, probably the last – Cole knows this because he sees me eating it all the time – I'm eating my barbecue more and more just to make sure that quality's there because it's really
hard. Poor you, having to eat it all the time. That must suck.
Well, you know, I'm more of like a – I'm an old school kind of barbecue dude. Like, I like chopped beef. I like sliced brisket sandwich. Like, that's what I like. I think that's like the East Texas, like, mentors I had. But also, like, are you born and raised here in Texas?
Yeah.
Or, excuse me, in DFW?
Yes.
Where'd you go to high school?
I went to Arlington Oak Ridge. It's a smaller private
school. Oh, yeah. That's where our best friend's daughter goes. We don't want to say the name.
Okay.
Kristen told me I need to stop giving private information. Yeah.
Just hammering out people's phone numbers on the podcast.
Oh, you heard that in the last one? That was my own phone number. And then she got mad at me because I was telling my doctor's like whole wedding information. She's like, Joe, you cannot tell people's personal information.
I guess in hindsight that makes sense.
Yeah. And I told her, I said, no one's listening to this fucking bullshit. But we have 2 friends. The friend down the street where your wife's having some
you're literally like
you have derailed.
You're Liam Neeson's worst fucking nightmare. Like
their kids go there too. But growing up, you probably went to was it David's what's a fame like the
in Pantillo?
Yeah,
David's.
Yeah. Like that's old school chopped beef sandwich that was absolutely amazing, still in business.
Still consistently pretty good.
Yeah. And you know what you get? And I hear the French fries are absolutely amazing.
They're bomb, yeah.
And I think that's what people like forgot. And maybe like in sports radio and also in golf, like people forget like the classic is always a classic and it's timeless. And yes, times change, but you just want that piece of history that you can go back to whenever.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think there's definitely something to be said for the old school way of doing things. And I think when it comes to barbecue, there's only so many different ways you can reinvent the wheel. You know, you see all these guys on YouTube, whether it be Matt Pittman or who's the big old guy that has Malcolm Reed, that guy. I mean, you know, they're constantly kind of uploading stuff with a little twist and a turn here, but more often than not, the classics are going to remain the same, you know, and it's good to just have that structure and that base of, hey, we're going to do really good brisket, we're going to do really good sausage, we're going to do really good ribs. So, and, you know, just work your way on from there.
So at the house, do you have a Big Green Egg, a Traeger?
So I've got a Traeger. I'm a cheat smoker.
No. I think we have done a bad job of making, oh, Traeger's bad. Like, it's not bad.
Oh, no. I don't mind at all. And in fact, I'll fully admit it's an easy bake oven for adult men.
But you get the barbecue you want.
That's correct. And for me, I'm not entering competitions. And I 100% respect and appreciate the art form that goes into using the stick burner. I just don't want to have to babysit a fire for 16 hours 1,000%. When I'm doing a brisket, you know. Mainly because I get into too many of these delicious Lone Star beers and then I'll be half asleep and then my brisket's overcooked.
You can tell this guy's in radio. He knows what's up.
So I like the kind of set it and forget it and be able to monitor it from my phone if I want to go watch the game.
So I want to know this. Like, break this down because I've never cooked on it, but I had a friend like call me in panic on Saturday at 6 a.m. because the Traeger stopped. And it stopped for like an hour and he freaked out. He said, hey, can I buy a brisket? I said, what the fuck are you talking about? I said, bro, just throw it in the oven. Or do you have a friend that has another Traeger? Like, you can still finish this cook-off.
Who is it?
A friend of mine that I work with.
You have other friends?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Catching strays over here.
You know about the side pieces. It's my what were we talking about last time? My main piece. But no, seriously, like, they're freaking out about, oh my God, like, the temperature dropped in an hour, but it's still hot, right? You're still cooking. And I'm like, you can finish this off. So my question is, like, for you, like, I've never cooked in a Traeger. Like, explain to me, you put the brisket on, and then what else do you fucking do?
Drink beer.
So you drink beer? Like, when do you check it? Like what, like?
Well, I mean, you know.
I literally want to know, like, for us, like, every 30 minutes, we have to throw a piece of wood in, right? So, sure. Like, are you opening it up, like, every 2 hours, looking the color, I mean, or, like?
You know as well as anybody, if you're looking, you ain't cooking, that's, you know? Bullshit. I mean,
No, that's all fake.
Okay, yeah. That's fake news.
Bro, I open up my doors more than anybody in the world, and I was that guy 7-8 years ago in my backyard. I literally cussed out one of my best friends. I said, dude, if you ever open this fucking door again, don't ever come back to this fucking house.
It was awkward.
CJ was there.
I wasn't me. I'd have fucking, he'd caught hands. It wasn't me.
Way to ruin a barbecue in one sentence.
Oh, yeah. And the funny thing is, like, it doesn't really matter. Like, now, you, like, I remember it was, we've been open since 2019, so 2016, like, I started getting mentored by some real barbecue dudes in 2017, and we roll up, CJ was with me, Andrew was with me, and they just had the doors open, they just threw wood in, did a look at the temperature, wasn't writing down notes, and I was like, you cook barbecue this way? It's like, it's done when it's done.
Yeah. That's true. I mean, people will give you times and temperatures all day long, but it's done when it's done, you know, like you said. I mean, for me, it's just so easy to do. And even with the Traeger, which is supposed to make it easier, I mean, cooking a brisket's still difficult. I mean, you can foul it up really, really easily, even on something like a Traeger. So being able to do it as consistently as somebody like yourself on a stick burner is honestly an art form. But with the Traeger, it's just, it's easy. And I'm looking for results. I'm not looking for competition, you know, blue ribbons and trophies. If my wife likes it, if my guests like it, cool.
What's your go-to? Like, what do you cook usually?
I'm not a huge rib guy. Pork shoulder's probably the easiest. It's
respect. Kind of, you said it right. It
kind
is.
Of, kind of idiot-proof.
Yeah.
You know? I do like doing brisket, but it's a hell of a time investment. And I got spoiled because I had a friend that actually owns a meat market, and he gave me like a Rosewood Ranch Wagyu brisket, and I did that for Thanksgiving a couple years back. And so now, like, I'm like, okay, well, if I ever do brisketing, I've got to do another one of these because it was incredible. So I don't know. I mean, I do a lot of.
Next time you want to do brisket, just holler at me. I'll give you the best beef there is in the world. 44 Farms out of Cameron, Texas, Black Angus.
Familiar, yeah.
Just hit me up. I got you.
Okay.
I'll take care of you.
Perfecto.
Yeah.
But,
so yeah. Do you wrap in foil or do you wrap in paper?
I like, do butcher paper, yeah.
Okay.
I do the butcher paper. And yeah, brisket's just a time investment, you know. It requires a lot of attention even with something as simple as Traeger. I do a lot of jalapeno poppers or the little pig shots, you know, just stuff that's easy that, you know, is always.
So what's your stuff in your jalapeno poppers?
I'll do a little bit of cream cheese and just some shredded cheddar or Colby Jack, mix it all together. And I like to add a little bit of whatever barbecue seasoning, like one of these would work lovely.
Ah, there you go.
And I put a little Worcestershire sauce in mine too.
Ooh, put some umami in there, huh?
A little bit.
I'm going to steal that. Hmm. That sounds like
give it a try. Yeah. I'm not going to say it'll change your life, but there's definitely another little flavor profile there.
Worcestershire.
That one.
Like, that makes everything better. I don't care what anybody says.
I agree.
Like, it makes every single thing better.
I put it in your beans, Joe.
You swear?
Yeah.
At the house?
Your jeans. Yeah, your beans when I get
your jeans.
Do you have beans here? I mean, sauce. Do you have a
what is going on?
Whoa. Yeah, but yeah.
Do you really put it on the beans?
Yeah.
How many drops?
Couple squirts.
I feel like this is really detailed for some fucking beans and Worcestershire sauce.
But you want me to tell you something? You know he really does that.
Oh, no, 100%.
Like, is it Liam Perrins or is it or Perry, Liam Perrins?
Man, whatever's on sale on Amazon.
Yeah. Are you buying groceries off Amazon?
I know.
I buy Worcester. Go ahead.
Obviously, you can get Worcestershire sauce on Amazon.
If there's any takeaway from today, it was that. So...
We were trying to get our EP to talk more. This bitch just came out of my bill.
Yeah, that was, and he had to get that shit off his chest. Hey, did you know that I put that on?
But I know he was telling the truth.
So definitely have to try that out. But so yeah, I want a Traeger. I don't want to spend the money on one.
I want somebody to give it to me free. But
yeah, they are a little high. I mean, I've heard good things about the Pit Boss and the Rec Tech and some of the other.
Nah, if I'm gonna do it, I'm gonna do it right.
Yeah, for sure.
Fuck that. Whoever gets it free, like I want to have the shittiest pellet grill, and I want to create a whole series of us cooking on it.
With the Traeger.
That's not the shittiest one.
Oh, you're saying with the shittiest one. I'm sorry.
I want like the bare, like I want like the Charbroil pit that's a...
the lowest
What's the Walmart brand one?
I don't even think that's the low end, bro. That's expensive as fuck.
Is it?
Yeah. Is that the Pit Boss?
It is.
That's expensive still. That's like right below fucking Traeger.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. Like I don't even know a brand that's like... It was probably just made up. Right?
I mean, like honestly, I started doing that during COVID because I was convinced.
You just started cooking.
Yeah, I mean, when COVID hit and there was nothing to do, I was about 2 months into COVID and I was convinced I was going to end up in rehab if I didn't find some sort of hobby because I was working from home, and when you're working from home, you're done with work by 1 o'clock, maybe, if that, because I would get up, and my wife was still having to go to the office, and so I would get up when she got up at 6:30, 6:45, and I would immediately sit down and start working. I didn't have to get dressed, shower, commute, then BS with people in the office for 15 or 20 minutes. So, like, by the time I was actually working, it's 10:30, 11 o'clock, and so I'd have to stay till 5. Well, when you get up at 6:30 and you don't have to do all that, you're working at 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning, so by noon, you're done.
You're a lot more productive.
There's no doubt.
Yeah.
And so about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I would fill up my 32-ounce Yeti tumbler about halfway with Tito's and halfway with soda, and I would just sit there on the back patio and just, I would turn on music, just like you've got here, and I would just sit out there and listen to tunes, and I'd just have my cocktails, and so by the time my wife got home at 5 o'clock, I'd be just half in the bag. Yeah. I mean, and she was like, you've got to stop doing this, like... And I just didn't, it was just out of pure boredom. I mean, there was just nothing else to do. There's only so much after a couple of months of being locked down. There was only so much cleaning and reorganizing and, hey, I've been putting this off around the house.
This couch would look good on this wall.
Let me ask this question.
So I was like, I've got to find a hobby. Yeah. I was like, you know what? I'll start. And I didn't really want to commit to going and buying a really expensive like stick burner.
No, they're expensive.
So I was just like, you know what? And so I just popped on the like Nebraska Furniture Mart website and was 0% like, oh, there's
interest.
There's a Traeger. And I was like, you know what? I'll just buy it. And so we went and picked it up and I started just messing around with it.
So you're editor and chief, right?
Sure, we can go with that.
That sounds good, right?
It sounds more official, I guess.
Yeah, I like it. Avid Golf, DFW, like, you know, it's kind of funny. Like, Chelsea was one of the golf cart girls, like, we were young back in the day.
Our Chelsea?
Yeah, or Kelsey.
Kelsey.
Yeah,
yeah. Oh, yeah, Kelsey, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think Courtney and Amanda have hit it all over.
Yeah.
But, like, so when COVID was hitting, like, did you see, like, the golf, like, pick up, like, that business? Because,
well, after kind of the initial surge of COVID where everything was closed, the golf industry was actually one of the few industries that did kind of thrive.
6 foot
COVID.
Separation is a bitch,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, because you can get outside. It's one of the few things you could do is get outside. Now, mind you, they had some really asinine protocols in place where you would go out to a golf course, and mind you, we're in Texas. Thank you. And it would be 113 degrees, and they'd have no water fountains or any kind of water coolers on the course because COVID.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you'd get out there and be halfway through your round and about to die because you're dying of heat exhaustion.
Exactly.
And then the little pool noodle, like, in the bottom of the hole. That, as far as I'm concerned, will go down as the absolute stupidest shit that anybody ever came up with as far as COVID protocol goes.
I don't even know about this.
So, in the actual hole, they would cut, like, a piece of a pool noodle about like this. And so the ball wouldn't go all the way into the hole. It would literally just kind of tumble over the edge and sit on top of this little, like, pool noodle.
So you didn't
have to reach all the way into the hole.
Shut up.
The single dumbest thing in the history of the world.
And every golf course did that in DFW?
Almost all of them. In fact, some of the nicer courses actually had special things constructed. I even saw a course that had a little foot thing that you would, like, pull up on it with your foot, and it would shoot the ball back out of the hole. So there were courses that were investing money in special things to help get the ball out of the hole for you. But, like, the municipal courses, by and large, just used, like, the pool noodle or, like, a piece of PVC pipe. But it was absolutely the dumbest thing in the world.
So I joined a country club last year because of my co-packer. And my son's going to be 5. And, you know, we're trying to get him to get into golf. And we're, you know, did the golf camp. And it went well. And then he started hating it, so we're like, shit. So, like, on Sundays, we try to play.
Oh, that's natural.
Yeah, on Sundays,
I've been playing 35 years, and I hate it most of the time.
I know. And my wife, she's you know, my age. We're older, right? So she's just trying to get into it. And she's like, why can't I do this? I'm like, golf is the hardest fucking thing in the world. Like, and starting off later is, like, the worst fucking
thing.
There's
no doubt. It's much, much easier if you start when you're young.
And, like, our golf pro, he's like, just keep on coming out, get your son comfortable. The good thing is we're teaching him, like, all the uncomfortable swings because you're trying to create that it's normal because the swinging is so uncomfortable on the perfect swing, right?
Right.
Like, your body's not made to do.
Yes, it's very counterintuitive to everything that your body was made to do. And you see a lot of the guys on tour that have practice their whole lives. I mean, it takes its toll on their knees, on their back, and some guys are luckier than others, but you can even look at younger guys like Will Zalatoris, local guy. I mean, he had to have back surgery already. He's like 23, you know.
It's just all that torque that's just coming through, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know, you've interacted with sports a lot. Do you think golfers are, like, nicer than other athletes, or are they the exact same? Like, let me rephrase. I don't know what nicer means. Like, it seems like golfers seems more personable than other athletes.
I mean, it's obviously not a team sport, so it's just like you get the true definition of a person. They're not hidden behind what their teammates did. It's them. So I would assume you get them as
I think there's an element of that, but it's just like any other walk of life, and I don't care if you're in business or if you're in media or if you're an athlete. there are going to be guys that are extremely approachable, that are going to sign every autograph, that are going to take every picture with a little kid that they can. And then there are just some guys that are just total dicks.
That's like barbecue.
It really is. I mean, in every walk of life, you're going to run across the people that are really approachable, that are really fun, that, hey, good to meet you, and yeah, eye contact and all that. And then you're going to run across guys.
Who's one of those guys that comes top of mind?
One of the nice guys?
Yeah.
Golf-wise?
Yeah.
There's a lot of them, actually. Believe it or not, Jordan Spieth is a really, really nice guy when it comes to fans.
So it was really cool. I think it was like, when did he win the Open?
2015. The Open was 17, I think.
17?
Yeah, he won the Masters in 15.
So I think he just won the Open, and then Wade Bowen and Randy Rogers playing at the House of Blues. It was like the next day. So I guess he flew in. He was walking around with the
Claret jug.
And he went up on stage and, like, drank a beer out of it. It was, like, the coolest thing ever. Then he was with all this, like, because he has a kid. Oh, that was the coolest picture of him with his kid in the Masters, like, yeah, kicking it. That was, like, so contest. Awesome. But he was, like, with his fiance at the time, I believe, and all his, like, friends and everything. Just having the time of the life. And everybody was just like, Jordan! And he was, like, the nicest dude ever, just enjoying it, drinking beers, and just acting like a... Just appreciating everybody so...
Living in the moment type situation.
Yeah, being so happy for him. We were all proud of him.
Yeah.
It was like the coolest thing ever.
It's very... He's a... Even though we've tried to get him to do interviews with the magazine and on the radio and everything, and I get it. He values his downtime because he is so busy and he is being pulled in probably 1,000 different directions at once. It's hard for him to, like, do a lot of media commitment stuff. Once he's off the golf course, he likes his personal time and being around, especially now that he's married with a young child. So in that regard, it's been kind of tough to get him to do anything with us. But as far as him, charity commitments and autograph signings, and he'll stand around and sign for days and days.
That's
for
awesome.
So he's a real nice kid. There's a lot of guys like that. Will Zalatoris, who I just mentioned, super nice guy. Scotty's a really nice guy.
Well, that's what I'm going to say. Like, was there, like... What is your take on Full Swing? Like, we loved it. Granted, I really loved, you know, the whole F1 series. It seems like Full Swing was kind of an offtake of it. But it's pretty cool to, like I realize we have a lot of golfers live here in DFW, but I didn't realize how much, like, top-tier golfers live in Texas.
Yeah. And historically as well, I mean, guys like Lee Trevino and Byron Nelson and Ben Hogan. And I mean,
so that TX Whiskey, you know, we got kicked out of there. That's where, you know,
the golf course is. I was talking with my wife and my mother-in-law today. We took her to lunch for Mother's Day, and we were driving back down 287 kind of through that area, and my wife said something, where's that golf course that Ben Hogan used to work at? Actually, I think she said Arnold Palmer at first, and I was like, no, it was Ben Hogan and Byron Nelson. We were kind of driving.
Crazy, right? Like, people don't know that.
Yeah. Glen Gardens, yeah, it used to be a country club. In fact, they filmed part of the movie Dead Solid Perfect there as well, if you've ever seen that movie. Yeah, it's old school golf movie.
Wow.
That's actually kind of worth seeking out if you're, you know, if you're looking for kind of a pre-Caddyshack.
I was going to say Caddyshack.
Rando, yeah. But part of it was filmed at Colonial and part of it was filmed at Glen Gardens Country Club. So, we've got a very rich golf history in Texas. And then, you know, now with guys like Jordan and Scotty and Will and, I mean, Kramer Hickok, I mean, there are guys that live here in DFW. I mean, even some of the older guys like, you know, Todd Hamilton, who won the British Open in 2004. Greg Chalmers is a local guy. Even though he's from Australia, he lives here now.
So, is it that our golf courses have always been that good, or it's that?
I think the main thing is that golf is basically year-round down here.
Okay.
We don't really get a lot of super cold months, and even during the cold months, you can still get out and play some. Like, it might be February, and you might get a day where it's 65 and sunny.
So that's why it's either California, Texas, or Florida?
A lot of them live in Florida. Florida, I think, mainly a lot of the European guys live there because it's easier to get back over to the UK from Florida, being on the East Coast. So a lot of the Euro guys have a house in Florida, but yeah, same premise as you can play basically year round down there. So,
what's some of your favorite courses here in DFW?
We've got a lot of good ones, to be honest. I mean, you know, are we talking municipal golf or
both?
Private club golf both. Or?
Let me ask you a question: Have you ever played Dallas National?
I have 3 times.
Is it as
nice? It's everything you want? I mean, it's beautiful, but it's very difficult. Same thing with Merido. Merido is a really, really tough golf course. A lot of fun, though. It's, you know, it's like anywhere else. If you play it from appropriate tees, you're probably going to have a good time. If you try and be a hardo and tip it out and play it from 8,000 yards, you're going to be miserable. It's just, you know, there's a reason. You know, the Fields Ranch courses that just opened up in Frisco where they're going to host the PGA Championship.
What year is that?
2027.
That's what we're going to say. But they're going to do the senior this year or
the
next
senior
year?
PGA is this year. It's in 3 weeks, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same weekend as Colonial.
And then they just opened the Omni last week, two weeks ago?
Yeah, about a week and a half ago. I actually went up there for the grand opening. The hotel is beautiful. The sheer footprint of that entire development is – it's staggering how big it is because you have the Northern Texas PGA, the PGA of America, the Omni, all their convention center, restaurants. You've got a 10-hole short course. You've got a putting course and then two championship golf courses. So it's – when you see it, you're just – it's mind blown because you're standing at one end of the property and you look and from where the Omni is to where the Northern Texas PGA headquarters is, I mean, it's like 2 miles away and it's the same piece of property.
And forgive me because, you know, with all the stuff that happened with the Byron move, is that where it's going to be played or
– No, so the Byron Nelson is at TBC Craig Ranch.
It's going to stay there?
Yes. I believe it's there. I think it was a 5-year commitment they had to Craig Ranch.
Okay.
And I think there's a working theory and a lot of people say, well – will the Nelson ever move up to the Fields Ranch courses? I don't think so. A, because the PGA of America and the PGA Tour are two separate entities. And a lot of people don't understand that. They think that it's all one umbrella.
Because it's like the U.S. Open and the PGA Championship, right?
So, like the USGA runs the U.S. Open.
Yep.
The PGA, their major championship, the PGA Tour, is technically the Players' Championship.
The last one where it's like really big. Big
so it's the one that they have in March now, the one with the Island Green, the Players' Championship. So that's basically what the PGA Tour's kind of major is, even though it's not one of the four majors.
How about the playoff, the last...
So like the FedEx Cup playoff? Yeah, that's run by the PGA Tour. But,
okay.
It's a little bit strange because the Royal and Ancient runs the Open Championship, and then you have the Masters, which is its own thing.
Have you... you've probably been to the Masters. Have you ever played there?
No. And one of the guys I played at Fields Ranch with when they opened last week, he is a media member, and they do a media lottery every year. So if you get credentialed to go
trying for 15 years for a ticket just to go to the practice round.
So I started registering for tickets back when you still had to send them a self-addressed stamped envelope, and they would mail you the application.
You're lying.
No. And before they opened it up to online.
So you used to literally
write them a letter and they would send you the application in the mail. And then you would fill it out and send it back to them.
That is some cool shit.
And so...
do you have any... man, you should...
I've been to one practice round and it's a funny story because I've been doing this in the lottery for 25 years probably. And me and three of my friends, we say every year, all right, we're all going to apply, and if one of us hits, we'll all four go. You know, if we get four tickets, all four of us. And my buddy actually got his girlfriend to do it,
like she won.
5 years, and she hit, and so we just, you know, got the tickets from her. But the four of us, we've never gotten picked, any of us, for anything. No practice round, no nothing. But we got Monday practice round tickets. We flew down. We VRBO'd a house at Lake Oconee, which is about 35 or 40 minutes outside of Augusta, in between Atlanta and Augusta, basically. And we stayed there for a few days, got up nice and early Monday morning, got out there for our practice round about 11:30 in the morning. It started pouring rain. So we got about 4.5 hours there.
So do you think like all those people that you see there really won it from the lottery? There's no way, right?
They've made it really difficult to transfer the tickets to other people, so I suspect that most people probably have. Now, there are some exceptions where you can have some really wealthy people that can find secondary market tickets, and they don't care if they're going to pay $8,000 a ticket for them. But most of the people I feel like that are on the grounds have gotten their tickets through the lottery. And most people that do this, they're like me. They've been doing it for 20 years, and if they ever get tickets, they're damn sure going to go.
100%.
They're not going to sell them, you know.
No.
So but
that grass looks so fake.
I tell everybody that's going for the first time, I say, here, I'm issuing you a challenge. Find a weed anywhere on the property. Anywhere. I don't care if it's in the flower beds, under the trees, anywhere. I actively looked to try and find a weed and could not find one.
That is 44 Farms Ranch.
I don't know. I could find weed anywhere. So
not that kind of weed.
Okay. That's hilarious. I know we took this golf route, but it's just like, it's really interesting. Like,
and I think to answer your original question, which we never got to, I thought that Full Swing was pretty good. But if you're in the golf industry, a lot of the things they discuss and kind of the storylines I follow, you kind of knew about it already. But like for somebody that hasn't followed the PGA Tour a lot, I feel like it was a very solid series.
Do you think they make Koepka look worse than he really is?
I think that's just the way he is.
And I respect it because he's a cocky motherfucker. But I'm like, God, man, I found myself kind of rooting for him on the last major, weirdly enough. Don't ask me why.
I don't dislike
and then he just, and then he just like, and it's weird, like, and even like Jordan, because everybody thought, like, and I feel bad because we want Jordan. Like, golf is that hard.
Yeah, it's incredibly difficult. Your son will find out.
So Tiger, Tiger Woods was that amazing for that time period. That was like,
yes,
that was normal.
We are very fortunate to have witnessed Tiger's career. And how old are you?
37.
Okay, so you're a little younger than me, but not by much. So you got to see a good portion of Tiger as well.
Yeah, like, and I watch on Sundays because he's wearing his red.
Yeah.
And he was in the running always.
And it's crazy to me that there are kids that, you know, were in their early 20s that really have not much of a concept of how outrageously dominant he was for a sport that's very difficult to be dominant in. And, you know, you see guys like Jordan who came flying out of the gates and won three majors, you know, bam, bam, bam. And then all of a sudden, it's been 7-8 years since he's won one now. I mean, it's hard. It's hard to win major championships. It's hard to win golf tournaments, period. And Tiger did it at such an outrageous clip for like a decade.
So do you think it's bad for like all these like, I can't even say up and comers anymore because they're in it, right? Like no one's ever going to be Tiger again.
I mean, I think that every generation will probably have somebody like that.
Arnold.
Yeah. I mean, and it's been that way. I mean, Palmer to Nicklaus and then Nicklaus to, you know, to pick your poison in the 80s. I mean, there were plenty of good players in the 80s, you know, and then on to Tiger in the late 90s and, you know, through basically about 2008-ish, you know, for a good 10-year period there. He was, I mean, just almost unbeatable. Every time he teed it up, he was almost unbeatable.
Is there like a name that none of us have ever heard of that's up-and-comer that's like, you should be
If we're talking local,
yeah.
There's a couple of twins, Pearson and Parker Cootie, and their grandfather Charles Cootie won the Masters like in the 40s or 50s, and they went to the University of Texas. Just kind of went professional like this last summer.
It's like University of Texas. Go ahead.
What's that? They're twins.
Yeah, they're twins.
The Cootie twins.
The Cootie twins. That's right.
So. Like, if you're a golfer, is University of Texas one of those, Stanford, yes. University of Texas, or are those like the two, like, where you go?
I mean, honestly, pretty much any program in the Big 12 now is
what?
Really
Oklahoma
good.
State, too, right?
Oklahoma State's program is really good. Texas Tech has the number one ranked amateur in the world right now.
What?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No lie.
Ludwig Aberg. He's a Swede.
Texas Tech.
Yes, they've got the number one ranked amateur.
That's why I tell you there's nothing but good people out of Tech.
Hey, if you can't get your guns up, get your grades up, get your guns up, right? That's how it goes.
Wait, no shit. I did not know that.
Yeah. So, really, honestly, the Big 12, they've pretty much every program in the Big 12 is pretty solid. I mean, Tech, Oklahoma State, and they've all got awesome facilities. You know, I think that's part of the reason. Oklahoma's golf team won a national championship like 4 years ago. So, yeah, it's a good time to be a golfer in the state of Texas, I guess, if you're really good. Now, if you're one of the mid-level guys, it's probably really tough because there's not a lot of scholarships left to be had and, you know, not a lot of places. But if you're, you know, Jordan Spieth, if you're Scottie Scheffler, if you're one of these transcendent talents, you're going to find somewhere to go, probably in Texas.
Did your nephew play for?
UTA. Yeah. So I have my wife, both people that are really good in golf. One got a full ride to UTA, and they're in the WAC championship. I think it was like last week. Last time I looked, he was like third or fourth in the tournament. And then my cousin, Chris, his daughter, so I call her my niece, she's a sophomore. This is her second year to go to state in golf. So I'm like, man, I always tell her, it's like, you guys gonna play my scrambles, like,
oh, you're gonna bring in the ringers, huh?
Hell yeah, that's what it's about, right?
That's right. I don't blame you. Have you had your first member guest experience yet at your new club?
No, I need to bring CJ.
Bring some sandbaggers in.
Well, no, see, my problem is all my friends, we're just drunks.
Well, I mean, that's okay too.
Like
scrambles need people that drink a lot.
Yeah, like. I would say maybe Matt will be our sandbagger if we have one, right?
Probably.
Yeah. But I do have like some – that's why I just want my son. I'm trying to tell my son, like, I know Granny, he's only going to be 5. I'm like, I just need you to know golf because you have a lot more friends that are worth a damn, that have some kind of money. They're going to want you to come along because you're good at golf.
Hey, and you know what? On top of that, the golf course is a great place to make business connections. And like you said, I mean, when you're hanging out with – people that are kind of in that highfalutin stratosphere, you can find job opportunities. It's a great place to network, you know, on the golf course. Where else are you going to find somewhere? Let's say your boss invites you. Hey, if you're a low-level employee at whatever, and the CEO or the CFO or some one of the big wigs says, hey, we want you to come play in this golf tournament with us. Where else are you going to be able to find 4.5 or 5 hours to spend with the CEO of your corporation? You're not going to sit down and have a 5-hour meeting with them, but you can get 5 hours with them on the golf course.
Cabaret East.
Depending on who the CEO is, what they're into.
I work in a blue collar. I work in construction industry, so yeah. Oh, many of those closing deals in cabaret. So
that's right.
No, but that like when you break it down like that, that's God honest truth.
Yeah, and I mean it's good to get it, and even if you're not ever really really good, as long as you're like.
Good.
Decent.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you can shoot 85 and not break 10 clubs and.
Shit, 85. Okay. You know, I'm at about 125.
We can't golf together, is all I'm hearing from this, Eli. So.
Oh, we absolutely can golf together. Hey, you know what? If you bring delicious Lone Star Texas Light beers, then count me in.
Save that drop.
Bro, this guy is on fire. He's a professional.
God. It's funny. I have a lot of customers who are like, you know, do you golf? I'm like, yeah, I don't. But I tell him, yeah.
Sort of.
I mean, I'll caddy the shit out of him, but.
So, my wife, she was the absolute amazing. So, in 2004, she bought me Big Bertha cavity backs. And then just this year, when we joined the country club, my co-packer's like, hey, bro, you need to go to some new golf clubs. So, I got the Titleist T300.
Oh, look at this guy. Rich guy, huh? All right. I like it.
They're amazing.
No wonder you're charging so much for that brisket over there, buying those $3,000 clubs.
They're awesome.
Oh, yeah. Hey, you get what you pay for, man, just like anything else. Just like barbecue, you know? Yeah. If you want to go and go through Dickies, it's going to be okay. And it'll make a turn.
And it's funny because then, my hybrid, it's like a ping something. I don't even know. And
yeah,
then my
very familiar with your equipment. I like this.
And then my driver, I was terrified to spend fucking $1,500 on a fucking driver. So I asked my co-packer, hey, you got some extra drivers hanging around? He said, yeah. I didn't like this driver, so he gave me another fucking ping, like something. And I'm like, looked it
up. Give me that ping something over there.
It was like freaking, I looked it up. It was used, but even like the used was like $700. I was like, son of a, like, why are drivers so expensive?
That's the one downside to golf is it is a very expensive habit. When you start adding up golf balls and golf gloves and tees and clubs, and if you want good equipment and
do balls really make a difference?
Yes.
I'm a cheap ass. I buy the Precept, and I've been buying Precept forever because you get the most balls for the lowest price.
Okay, so I'll tell you, if you ever go to Costco, they have the Kirkland brand golf balls, and they come in 2 dozen, and I think it's like $29 or $25 for 2 dozen.
Pro V ones? That's why Pro V was trying to sell them? Sue them?
So they're basically the old patent from the original Pro V ones. So when that patent expired after 20 years, Kirkland came in and purchased that patent and started manufacturing the golf balls like in China. And so they can sell them real cheap, but it's essentially like the very original version of the Pro V one. So the Kirkland balls are actually really good golf balls and they're not super expensive.
I wonder if there's microphones in them since they're made in China. And they're just like jumping in on fucking business deals, and that's how we're getting hacked.
Well, now I know where I'm going to get my golf balls this weekend.
Their golf gloves are really good too, the Kirkland brand.
That's what I use.
When you play as much as I do, you burn through gloves a bunch, and you don't want to spend $30 a glove.
So how many times do you play?
A week or a year?
A week? Holy shit.
It depends. So I've got a friend that's in the car business, and we play together quite a bit. His his days off are Thursdays and Sundays, and so I'll typically try and play with him on Thursday if the weather allows.
18 or 9?
18. And we'll try and get out about, 8 o'clock in the morning.
So what do you, actually, fuck it. What do you shoot?
I'm a 5 handicap. I typically shoot anywhere between 77 and 83.
No shit.
Yeah, usually. If I play bad, it might be 85 or 87. If That's I play cool really good, fuck. It might be 72 or 73.
See, you definitely do not want to play with us. You'll be so pissed
yeah.
off.
Yeah.
Hey, that's not true. Believe me, I have played with golfers in every walk of life, and I'm a Muni rat. I'm not a country club guy. I don't have a membership anywhere. So whenever you go and you play at a municipal course, especially if it's one that's relatively affordable, you never know who you're going to play with. And sometimes it's a 75-year-old man that will just absolutely beat the brakes off of you.
100%.
And sometimes it's a random dude that just wanted to get away from his wife and kids and hasn't played in 7 years and wants to drink 8 beers and lose 50 golf balls.
So have you played Prairie Lakes or Tangle Ridge?
Absolutely. Yeah,
Tinker Ridge is nice, right? I think Prairie Lakes is nice too.
No,
27
they're both
miles.
Great. Yeah, Prairie Lakes it's a great like budget friendly golf course. It's got like you said three nines. They're all pretty interesting. It's got the little Grand Bermuda Triangle over there, which is which is tough. Yeah, we've got some great municipal golf in DFW, and we've got great private golf too. I mean, you mentioned Dallas National earlier. Brook Hollow is an incredible experience. It's a great golf course. I mean, the Newfields Ranch courses are awesome. I mean, we've got a lot of really good golf.
So, I my country club is like the Good Old Boys. I think a lot of people from Great Southwest went over there.
Oh, man, I miss Great Southwest.
It's Diamond Oaks.
Oh, okay, yeah. Diamond Oaks is great.
I'm like the only Mexican there.
No, the cooks are there, too.
That, too.
Sir!
And I love it because they see my son like walking with his clubs. They're all nice. Everybody's nice out there. But it's definitely classic.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Trevino used to play over there quite a bit.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
For real?
Yes.
That is too cool.
Yeah. I've actually been playing over there and seen Trevino on the course before. This was probably 15, 20 years ago. Trevino's getting kind of old now, but.
We should all go play golf out there. We will set up some time.
It's been is their new clubhouse done yet?
Yeah, it just got done. It got done like 3 months ago, 4 months ago.
Okay.
Yeah, with all the storm and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Oh, to get like from the ice storms?
Yeah, yeah. Literally, they're in like a whole battle. Pipes burst, didn't they? Yeah. They're in a whole battle with insurance. Cole knows how that goes.
I work for a sprinkler company, so
So
we actually redid what was the one in Wiley?
Oh, y'all did that country club out there.
I can't. It'll come to me in a second.
And it's actually cool. Like, I forgot the guy's name. He comes every once in a while, but they bought the fucking Eastland Country Club, and they put a high game fence out there. So it's literally a hunting / golf course.
That's genius, though.
Oh, hands down. And I told them, I said, bro, if you ever need me to come out there cook, hands down, I'll fucking golf, cook.
Yeah.
And so I don't know how much you've known, but we're trying to create the I thought it was a Barstool Barbecue, the bbqdistro.com, but it's turning into like the Athletic Barstool kind of thing, majigular. Because somebody's like, bro, you're more like the Athletic because we're bringing all of our friends to like tell their story, right? And we're the ones controlling the narrative of it.
Yeah.
And but one of my buddies, like CJ's like been wearing Barstool stuff probably about 3 months ago. And I was like, what the fuck? And we know about Barstool, but I have a lot of friends that golf or part of some country clubs, and they were telling me the whole like Barstool does like 20 different tournaments like throughout.
Yeah, I'm not turbo familiar with Barstool. Obviously, I'm very aware of them.
Same.
It's hard to avoid.
Yeah.
I think
that was perfect. Hard to avoid.
Yeah, I actually did when I took a trip to Pinehurst about three years ago. I actually met Riggs. Whenever he was up there, nice enough guy, whatever.
So maybe we should work with you because I want to create this, like start off small with this BBQ distro where it's like golf and then I take the 1,000-gallon, cook a whole bunch of barbecue, do like a class beforehand or whatever, and we just have a good time.
That sounds like a winner to me.
Like,
I mean, to me, two of my favorite things are golf and barbecue, obviously, so.
Yeah, we should think of something up. I think it'll be a lot of fun. And the more I would say more so than not, the people that are golfing either love barbecue or do barbecue and want to have more fun with it.
I would agree. Yeah.
And there's a lot of barbecue dudes that actually golf that I had no idea. I'm like, you fucking golf?
Yeah. I think a decent amount of them do. There's actually a lot more musicians that golf too than
you would think. So Austin Mead, he's going to be in town, I think, June 16th at the, excuse me, at Billy Bob's.
Mm-hmm.
And that motherfucker's like a, I think he said he shoots like a 72, 75.
He's got a good swing. I follow him on Instagram. My wife and I actually saw him last year, I guess 2 years ago.
Oh, we didn't invite you to Zavall's Bash. He was at Zavall's Bash this past year. We were trying to get Wade, but you know he's booked, so I got to figure out somebody else.
But I've actually seen Austin swing on film, and I actually messaged him, and I was like, dude, got a pretty solid swing. And he was like, yeah, I'm not very good anymore, but I played when I was in high school. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, you got a good swing. And it's, you know, I guess this is one of those don't judge a book by its cover type moments, because you'd look at him and be like, there is way that guy can swing a golf club.
Let me ask you a question. So me, I can look at a picture of barbecue, and I can be about 90% right if it's going to be good or not.
Okay.
So you can look at a swing and be like, all right, that son of a bitch is good.
Not always, but yeah, I mean, for the most part, you can tell if that person has played before or if they're going to be just a total hack. That being said, there are some exceptions to that rule where somebody might be self-taught and their swing might look really, really bizarre, but they also go out and just shoot 73 every time. And you're like, okay, yeah, sounds good.
Works for
him. Scotty Scheffler's a good example of that. If you watch his feet whenever he swings, you're like, I don't know how he even stays upright. Like, it looks like he's trying to trip himself every time he swings a golf club, but he's the best player in the world, so doing something right.
He seems like a really nice guy, too. Like,
yeah, I think he's like, very well-grounded. Like, I would call him kind of an old soul.
Oh, there, yes, yes.
I think because he's wise beyond his years.
And it seems like him and his wife, that's mm-hmm. why they just got married recently, right?
Yeah, probably a year ago. I mean, I know that he still drives the same Suburban that he drove in college, and it has like 260,000 miles on
that,
it.
That seems like him, and his wife seems like it's true love.
Yes, like they're actual high school sweethearts, you know, yes. Which is kind of cool.
And that's what I got off of Full Swing, right? And it was like, they are good people.
All right, so you said you can judge whether barbecue is going to be good based on a photo. I'm going to show you a photo of some barbecue that I did, and I'm going to put you on the spot here. And I don't know if it was good or not.
Well, you should have told me it was yours, because I'm going to say it's the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life.
Let's see if I can find photo of...
It's got an asterisk on it now.
I know. Now, I'll tell you the truth. Like the first time I ever made a brisket, CJ said it was the worst thing he ever ate in his fucking life.
I've come to the conclusion that I think just about... And I'm sure you're aware of this, but just about everybody fucks up their first brisket. I don't think there's anybody that ever put their first brisket on any kind of heating element and took it off 12 hours later and went, yep, fucking nailed it.
This is gold. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely crushed it.
No, you're right.
Mine was pretty well dog shit.
I used to work with a guy that he was like, made my first brisket, and he was like showing me pictures of it, and it was like a 2-inch smoke ring. He's like, look at that smoke ring. I'm like, you know, that's not supposed to be.
Bro, I feel like I feel really bad. So I have this bad habit of giving away free one-on-one barbecue classes to charities where they raise like $2,000 to $4,000. And I forget that I do it, and then they text me and say, hey, we're going to be here today. Well, that happened to me yesterday. And, you know.
It's very generous of you, by the way, to donate your time.
CJ usually is like my partner in crime and gets drinking with me, but he just showed up and rolled out yesterday.
All right. Good or bad?
Oh, bro, that looks great. Like, that's pulled pork. Like, your bark looks good on it. Like, it doesn't look like shit.
Okay, good. All right.
No, no, actually, show CJ. CJ,
feel
CJ,
I'm feeling encouraged.
No, CJ, tell the truth.
We did mention before the show, and maybe early on, that, you know, the pork shoulder's kind of
no, proof, no. I think the pork, but like, it, no, no.
It looks good.
I think the pork shoulder creates the fundamentals. And that shows me that you're not as scared of the heat, because people are terrified of cooking too hot. But you got to have the hot temperature to be able to get the bark that you want.
Absolutely.
What'd you season it with?
That one, that's a good question.
Some shit.
I do an injection.
Oh, okay.
With my pork.
Apple cider vinegar.
I do a little bit of apple juice. I do a little bit of table salt, a little bit of sugar, a little bit of Worcestershire sauce. Mix it all. I think there may be one other thing in there. I have to go back.
I'll say this. Pork needs all that.
Yeah. And there's no flavor in it. I mean, like.
Like, pork is pork.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and you get the nice juice, too, you know.
Yeah.
100%. And, like, because you want to. Actually, like. The most fun that we're having right now is, like, a couple of our friends do whole hogs. Like, we bought a whole hog cooker. But just, like, that vinegar pungent that hits you on, like, the skin that's crispy and then the moist of the pork is different because it's not Texas, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing that I keep on talking about. Like, I think barbecue's boring because it's so perfect. You can go anywhere in Texas and get absolutely amazing barbecue.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very true. I mean, you know, there are some that are better than others, but I do enjoy the sampling other regions, not 100%. Only barbecue, but food in general, you know? I mean, I consider myself to be a bit of a foodie.
What's your favorite cities? CJ's is New Orleans.
New Orleans.
Drago's
very hard to beat. Yeah, if you're a foodie, New Orleans is definitely
see. But first time I ever went, we all went together, and he's like, dude, you got to try this place for, what is it, fucking, the oysters?
Drago's.
No, but what were they? The
Charbroiled.
Charbroiled oysters, dude. Okay. He hyped this thing up, and I'm like, this is about to be amazing. And we get there, I'm like, we're in fucking Papado's of Louisiana. I was so
a little chain restaurant-y for
you. No, it was in the casino. Like I was just like, dude, you gotta be shitting me. Like,
just a total tourist trap.
Yeah, 100%. Like, yeah. We're at Papado's in Louisiana. Like, literally. Like, so
that's actually what my wife wants tonight. It's Papado's.
It's been a hot minute since I went to the old Papado.
My wife hates it. I don't know what it is.
Really?
She's just like, and I try to go all the time because they have.
It's just good, solid.
No, what's that? Dude, what's that?
Fondue.
No, the lobster salad.
Oh, yeah, seafood salad. Yeah,
called, yeah. Amazing. I'm like, and I'm almost craving it.
Do you get the honey mustard or the vinaigrette?
Vinaigrette.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm a vinaigrette guy, hands down. So
that's too funny. So I know we're coming up to time. Is there like any questions that you? I know we should be asking you questions, but like any barbecue questions or any like why are you and CJ best friends?
Well, I mean, I do feel like we really do have a connection between us, so that's good. As far as barbecue questions go, I don't know, man. I don't really have a whole lot of questions.
Has this time...
When are you doing fajitas again? That's my question.
Well, actually, we started up two Thursdays ago.
Nice.
Right. Because people were bitching all the time.
Yeah, like, they're just hitting you up on the gram.
Have you made fajitas on your Traeger?
Yeah. Yeah. Not as good as those.
Joe's got to get you some 44 Farms fajitas. What's your go-to? Like, where do you get your fajitas from?
That's a good question.
Talking about like cooking or
cooking?
Eating?
Cooking.
So if I'm going to do them, most of the time I'll go to Texas Slabs.
That place is
legit. I love that place.
Yeah, it's solid. Yeah,
he died, solid. What, 2-3 years ago? The owner?
Maybe.
Great, great. He was a great guy.
Like, solid
he
just, jerky too.
Yeah.
Bro, that jerky, CJ always is bringing.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'll just go straight up lazy and just hit the Michoacana and do that.
Oh, bro,
that,
no, it's all, bro. It,
like, although I'm fairly certain they're washing money for the cartel, but.
Yeah, 100%.
You said that. We didn't say that.
Cole, edit that.
Yeah, edit that.
But that doesn't mean I won't buy fajitas from them.
No, real talk, their fajitas are legit.
Yeah, they're not bad.
No, I love them.
They're just kind of proud of them. You know, it's. Of course, I mean, it's gotten that way everywhere, though. Bro. Everything's expensive.
Well, it's because all of our peers here in Texas that are not Mexican fell in love with the fajitas. So what are you going to do? Just raise the price because you're all going to keep on paying for it.
But, I mean, meat in general across the board's gotten that way. I used to be able to – and one of my favorite things to do on the Traeger is tri-tip.
For real?
Yeah, it's relatively affordable. It's tastes good. If you know how to cook it, it'll feed you for a couple of days, and it's not terribly expensive. It almost kind of eats like
so. Do you like sandwiches? Do you do like sandwiches?
You can,
and then you do like tacos, and then like salads. Like
you can. You can just eat it straight. I mean, I'll just slice it and just eat it like steak.
You ever get the hanger steak from Texas Slab?
Yeah, bro, yeah, they have a good hanger.
Yeah, hanger's so good.
Yeah,
yes, it is.
So, do you go medium rare tight trip?
I'll usually do a little more towards the rare side. See,
okay.
I'm of the family of just knock the horns off of it and wipe its ass and show it to the fire. You
so
know?
What's your steak?
God, boy, I've never met one I didn't like. But if you're asking my favorite, you know, the older I've gotten, the more I've started to appreciate the ribeye. I was never a big ribeye guy, but the older
I'm a ribeye guy.
I've started to like them more.
And I'm very appreciative of CJ standing strong. CJ's a sirloin guy. And it, like, blows my mind. Sirloin's great, but ribeye's so much better.
The one thing that I have figured is that if you are going to do the ribeye, you do have to cook it to a little closer to medium because the fat won't render. Like, if you try and eat it rare.
See, you know what you're talking about. Yeah. That is the truth. Mm-hmm. Like, because if not, that fat's going to be like, ugh.
Yeah.
But if you get it, like, cooked right, the fat's like butter.
Yeah, absolutely. And you so you can't undercook the ribeye. And I'll if I do a filet, I'll do it mooing. Like I'll
I'm a medium rare on the filet. You have to be.
Like ribeye is like it's like the pork, but it's like you it's hard to fuck up.
That's
true. If it's thick enough.
Yes.
If it has to be 1 1/4, you can't fuck up.
Like filet, you got to watch a filet.
That's
like,
for sure.
So
yeah. Man, this is good shit right there.
Steak talk.
We're actually doing those steaks you gave me the day. I'm doing those for Mother's Day.
Yeah. We're gonna like this is me being extra. I reached out to the chef of Beverly's and said, is there any way I can get in on Mother's Day? I know this is like the most fucked up thing ever. Because Kristen, how the hell are you gonna hit me up a couple of days before Mother's Day and say, I wanna go eat here? I'm like, are you serious?
Yeah, that was a call that should have been made about 5 weeks ago.
100%. So I felt awkward reaching out to the executive chef, and she was nice, and she's like, it's going to be hard. But I said, do y'all take walk-ins day of at when you open up? She's like, come in 15 minutes early, and I think we'll take care of you. I'm like, oh, thank God.
What time they open?
They open at 11. She said roll up at – they're going to actually open the doors like at 10:30 to 10:45.
Where is this? Because I'm going to show up 5 minutes before
you. Yeah, we'll do that to me. Right? So real talk.
I'm about to price is right your ass. $1, Bob.
So seriously, my favorite restaurant – I have my two favorite restaurants in DFW is Beverly Dallas. Beverly is a Dallas is like a bistro, and it's just like good, solid food.
Okay.
And then I love Uchi. Uchi's like my happy spot.
All right. Never been to either one of them, but I will try them.
Oh, bro. They're
that's your recommendation.
And then another thing that I've been jamming out is Prince of Lebanese. I went to quite a bit.
Yeah, it makes.
It's just so fucking good.
I haven't been in a while. I tried to get Catherine to go like a week ago, and she didn't want to go.
I know. We were trying to go like 2 days ago, and we didn't end up, but that's my jam. It's good. Trying to think. So what's like your favorite, like non-barbecue, like what's your favorite place to go eat right now?
Right now? It's a pretty good question.
It's loaded.
Yeah, a little bit. I do, for the magazine, I kind of was thrust into writing our food features.
Talking about, y'all have a food feature?
Yeah. Every month in Avid Golfer, we have a restaurant that we feature.
Nice.
And
with a price to be featured?
No. It's just, I mean, sometimes PR firms will reach out to us and say, hey, we've got a new client. Would you be willing to do a feature story on them? Sure, no problem. Or I'll call around and say, hey, y'all just opened. Do you want some free pub? You know?
Oh, that's nice of y'all.
And usually they'll, you know, I mean, it's kind of understood that whenever you go in, they'll, you know, feed you for free or whatever. Yeah. And sometimes I'll take the wife along. Sometimes I don't. So I get to try quite a few kind of new restaurants. We actually went to one last week, I guess a week and a half ago. Over in Fort Worth, it's an Italian place called 61 Osteria.
Yeah.
Really solid.
Yeah. It's really good pasta.
Where's it at?
It's like over on the far west side of downtown, like kind of by the Fort Worth Club. If you're kind of familiar with it. It's an old bank. Really good food.
Yeah, I heard nothing but good things about it.
Yeah, and then, really kind of, I tend to try and stay more on the Fort Worth side. I don't really venture out to Dallas too terribly much, which is probably a mistake on my part.
I used to eat at Fort Worth all the time, but like the Dallas restaurants, they're coming in strong.
Yeah.
They really are.
I kind of want to try the new one at the top of Reunion Tower.
My boss, my old owner, one that used to go to a strip club with, he went, he just came back from
Italy.
Hopefully his wife's not listening.
Oh, no.
She was there with us.
That's,
yeah.
No, that's the kind of owner.
It was a good company to work for. Right. But yeah, they said they tried it. They said it doesn't spin anymore.
Yeah, I heard
that. Stopped that. They said, but it's just truffled this and shit like that.
About three years ago, somebody's credit card fell through, and their leg got caught. So.
And I quit the spinning thing.
It was right before COVID. Then COVID happens, right?
So they lost their leg?
Yeah. And that you can fact check it. Because I always get upset because we don't fact check shit.
I'm not going to lie. Look, it's like, I would never want to lose a limb, but every body part has a price tag. And I'd be curious to see what that one was.
Oh, well, it better be something for a fucking credit card. A plastic card that you can call and get a new one.
Well, no, but still. Whose side are you on? The man still lost his legs.
That's the side I'm on. Like, why the fuck would they give a shit about the like you're over here like lost your leg for a credit card?
Yeah, risk it for the biscuit at some point, man. Like
a credit card. That could be replaced.
This was 3 years ago. This was before like Apple Pay and stuff like that. So times were hard back then. You couldn't just hit your phone with it. So
did you find the article, D Magazine?
Yep.
Brian Reinhardt?
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Yeah, I did not think I'd be Google searching reunion tower leg lost today, but here we are.
Yeah.
Yep.
You never know what you're going to get. So,
ChatGPT, thank you so much.
Man, Eli, it's been a pleasure, man, having you on.
Yeah, of course.
Have you enjoyed your time? Was this everything you thought it was going to be?
Hey, man, I got 3 beers out of the deal.
Go on, get some more.
3 delicious Lone Star Texas Lights. You know what? You need to start having them send you the bottle so they have the little puzzle under the cap.
Let me tell you something. We can make some phone calls. If we need to do something from golf and Lone Star Light together, I think we can make it happen.
Probably so.
I mean, beer, golf, and barbecue, it doesn't really get a whole lot better.
It's a good trifecta.
It is.
We need to figure something out. We're going to figure something out. It's going to be good times.
Yeah, absolutely. But no, I really appreciate you guys having me.
Yeah, man. Thanks for reaching
out. Seriously, thank you so much. This has been absolutely amazing. Hopefully this wasn't a waste of your time because...
Not at all.
This was amazing.
It's been fun.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so like I said, once again, man, thanks for being here.
Actually, before we drop, where can they follow you?
Sure, yeah. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at the Eli Jordan. You can also follow Avid Golfer's Instagram account. They're at Avid Golfer DFW, and you can check out all of our feature stories and everything on myavidgolfer.com.
Awesome.
Yep.
Sounds like a plan. Once again, thanks, Eli. This is CJ.
This is Joe.
Y'all be good. Thanks.
Peace.
Bro, you're good than a motherfucker.
Fun stuff.
BBQDistro.com.